And turn to Mark chapter 14, if you will. Mark chapter 14. Anybody need a worksheet that did not get one? Raise your hand. Raise your hand. And indeed, if you want to yet jump in next week on Ambassadors Club, just that would be good. They kind of meet right back there automatically. Not trying to get rid of you, but just make sure you know it's offered. And King's Daughters and Master's Men this weekend, really would encourage you. And if last minute you just find out you can come, even though you think you can't right now, come anyway. There's always plenty of food. If you can bring a $10 bill for the help pay for the guys, I would appreciate that. But Bill Curry's making the food, so there's always plenty of food. We're gonna have barbecued pork and some good stuff there. So man's feet, my meat. Anyway, I really would encourage you. Bring a friend, bring them along with you. And then on Sunday, First Responders Day, hand those things out. Ask folks, would you come and help us honor our emergency personnel, our first responders? And if you do that, you may find some that are already first responders want to come and wouldn't mind being honored. So really, push that real hard. We'll see how well we do. We supposedly have some nice group rules, but you know how it goes. It could be a fire, you know? And it's all gone, you know, so that's the way it could happen. But anyway, you pray for that. I have a special message. We have some special things we're going to do for them, the video and some things. And I have a little approach to the message, and I think it'll be a blessing. We're going to give the gospel. We'll make it good and clear, too. So just bring some friends with you, and we'll have a good day. And I think it'll be a blessing. Let's take our Bibles into Mark chapter 14, if you will. Mark chapter 14, again, I remind you that we're not hitting everything in Mark. I'm kind of going through the parts of Mark that are not included in the other Gospels, or at least at this point wasn't included in Matthew. Actually, this portion is included in Luke, but it wasn't included in Matthew, so I'm doing it here in Mark. And there's a lot of things in Luke and John that are not in those first two Gospels. So when we get there, there'll be a lot of things to cover as well. But when we have chapter 14 of Mark, you have the chief priests there. They're plotting Jesus' death. And then you come to verse 3, and he's at Simon the leper's house. Some people believe that Simon the leper was actually Mary, Martha, and Lazarus' father. Now, we can't be hard and fast about that, but there are some who believe that he was. And from the different things you get from the different Gospels, of course, his house was in Bethany, where Mary, Martha, and Lazarus lived. And so, I don't know if that's the case or not, but from the other gospel, we know that she was there, and she was running the show, and it could be that she was there helping Daddy put on this feast to celebrate what Jesus had done, because he was a leper. You don't stop being a leper. Somebody got cleansed. And he was having a party, and he was rejoicing. And there's some things we don't know. I'm not going to make it. You know, I'm not going to get dogmatic about it. But in verses 3 and 4, we know that another spot that it's Mary comes and she breaks an alabaster box of ointment and pours it on him. And in fact, in John 12, we know that Judas is the one who complains. And then so Jesus says, "Let her alone." And I bet that went over real big with Judas. And so then we come to verse 10, where Judas decides he's going to betray Jesus. I would dare say there's a connection there, and the reason why Mark put it there back to back. That brings us to verse 12. It says, "The first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, 'Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover?' And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and saith unto them, 'Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him.'" That's just kind of funny. It didn't say there's going to be any kind of conversation. It just says there's going to be a guy, and he's going to show up there. You're going to run into him. He's carrying a pitcher of water, and just follow him. "And wheresoever he shall go in, say you to the good man of the house." So apparently the man with the pitcher is not the good man of the house. Apparently he's a servant of the house. Okay. "Say to the good man of the house, 'The master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he will show you a large upper room, furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And in the evening, he cometh with the 12. We're going to talk about ready to serve. This is kind of a simple message, and maybe not a whole lot of new here, but there's a reason why God puts things in and he puts it in again. You know, if you read through Proverbs or Psalms, there's some repetition in there. There's some exact verses. There's some chapters in Psalms that are, just almost identical. And you say, well, they must have forgotten put that in there again. And somebody messed up. No, God said it again. Did you ever tell your kids something and tell them again in a different context and tell them again in a different context? My guess is if he told us that, there was something in there he wants us to know. So anyway, we're going to learn some principles here tonight, and it may not be new to all of us, but I think it'll be a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you for your word. And Lord, I think, again, as we look through the book of Mark and you show yourself as a servant, how humbling it is that we often do not have that servant's attitude. So Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be prepared to serve. And we give the praise in Christ's name. Amen. So, we are told of the betrayal by Judas. In fact, Jesus says it's going to happen. And Judas was supposedly a faithful disciple. I mean, everybody kind of thought he was. My guess is there was probably some things he said from time to time that kind of raised some eyebrows and a few little red flags came up. But supposedly, he was a faithful disciple, so they thought. And what appears to be the straw that breaks the camel's back is when a woman in gratitude serves Jesus with abandon. Let me say that again. What bothered him the most was the fact that some woman decided to give something in extravagance, to give to Jesus, to serve him, to prepare him for his burial, if you will, to serve him with abandon. And when Judas complains about it, and we see that in John 12:4, he's rebuked by Jesus. And I think that went against Judas's selfish heart. And Judas was not about serving the master with his riches. He was supposedly a faithful servant, a faithful disciple, but that wasn't what he was doing. He was not about serving Jesus with his heart. Judas was more about using the master to get what he wanted. You know, the things of God are foolishness to the natural man. And sometimes when we have a worldling's heart, we see somebody who actually with abandon serves the Lord, just kind of gives it everything, and we almost look down our noses at him. Before long, we start judging them for being too pious, too surrendered. What we need to be is someone who's prepared to serve. Now, there's some funny little things in this little story, and I just want us to see some things. Number one, a servant is known by the master. A servant is known by the master. In Mark 14:12, it says, in the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, where wilt thou that we go and prepare, that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. Now the first servant they run into is this man bearing a pitcher of water. That means he's carrying it. Sometimes they actually carry it on their head. Sometimes they put it on their shoulder. Sometimes they had one of those sticks, and they have two of them on there. But it was work. You know, we complain because we have to, turn on the faucet. one faucet's not working. You know, we have another faucet in the other room, but this one we had to shut off, and we complained. We didn't have to go down to the well. This guy is a servant. He's bearing the water, and Jesus found. You say, I'm saying it this way. Jesus found the servant serving. So, well, Jesus wasn't there. No, but he knew where the man was going to be. He found him to be a servant. I think apparently the master had spent some time with the servant or the good man of the house, somehow or other, Jesus knew who this servant was, and he knew they would find him doing the job. And Jesus, I think, also knew who was not his servant. Again, Judas was not his servant. In fact, he says in Mark 14:17, it says, "In the evening he cometh with the 12, and as they sat and did eat, Jesus said, Verily I say unto you, one of you which eateth with me shall betray me. And he began to be sorrowful and to say to one by one, Is it I? Another said, Is it I? And he answered and said unto them, It is the one of the 12 that dippeth with me in the dish. The Son of Man indeed goeth as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. Good were it for that man if he had never been born." Now, I know these are consecutive events, but I think Mark put these events together in this, and I think that our translators put this in one chapter on purpose to see a comparison of character. Judas had walked with Jesus for years, but wasn't getting what he wanted. Not only was he willing to walk away, he is willing to sell him out. Fact is, we've seen folks, you've seen folks, you say, I don't understand. They've been with us for years. I'm not talking about somebody just leaving, you know, and there's an issue or whatever, but we've seen people who've left the whole walk of Christ. They didn't go to another church. It didn't even have anything to do with it. Well, Judas did that for 3.5 years. He walked with Jesus. He saw the 5,000 fed. He saw the 4,000 fed. He saw many of the other miracles. He saw and heard what he taught. And yet he turned his back because he wasn't getting what he wanted out of the deal. But yet we have this guy in town that hasn't been walking with Jesus. But when they, and you're going to see here in a second, they're going to show up to this guy. They're going to say, well, the master, you know, they're going to follow him. And they're going to go tell the good man of the house, you know, the master has need. Where's his room? That's kind of funny. But they had a servant attitude. There's folks in here who just plain find it a privilege to be asked to do something for the Lord. They're just tickled to death that somebody would ask them to serve the Lord. I know. I remember years when I felt like I wasn't getting to do much, and I just felt like I just needed to be faithful, and the Lord would eventually, you know, at the time. And in fact, for me, it was. You've heard me say this. At least some of you had. I was part of Church of the Open Door. When I left the little Methodist church I grew up in, when I went to Open Door, I didn't want to go there because I said, well, I won't get to do anything. I was like second man in charge on Sunday morning at the little church I grew up in. I was a choir director and anything else that needed to be done. I was 23 years old and up to be the assistant superintendent of the Sunday school, which in our little church met in 2 years. You're the superintendent of the Sunday school. You know how those things went, you know. And I was just excited about it, but I didn't want to go over there because I won't get to do it in the big old church. They had two choirs and two choir directors. They didn't need me. And sure enough, about 2.5 years, I didn't get to do hardly anything. I sang in a choir. Was it. Wasn't asked to do any special music. I wasn't asked to help here or help there, anywhere, you know. And I think Jad and I helped a little bit in the single adult class because we just figured, you know, we'll do something. But all we did was kind of help carry some tables and some chairs and things like that during events. And to be honest with you, I got pretty discouraged. I wanted to help. And the Lord, like he spoke to my heart, I didn't hear his voice, but it was like, well, Sterling, if everything's getting done, what's the problem? Are you doing this for me or are you doing this for you? Well, I thought I was doing it for you. So about 2.5 years later, I finally get asked to go on, you've heard me say this, it tells you a story. Finally got asked to go on Sunday afternoon to the jail to take my guitar and sing for the guys. And they asked me, and I said, Sunday afternoon? That's when I'm thinking to myself, that's when I take my sanctified nap. I was still teaching in public schools. I worked all 7 periods a day 5 days a week with those kids in public school, I was tired. And I think and it was almost like the Holy Spirit kind of kicked me in the backside and he said, "Now you want to serve or don't you?" "Well, yeah, I want to serve." "Well, then do it." "Well, okay, I'll do it." And next month came around, they asked me to go again. It was a certain guy that had, actually he was representing the Gideons, to be honest with you, and they had a service once a month on Sunday. And so I'd go and I'd do that, and then they asked me to go do some nursing homes, some other things. And you know what? As soon as I decided I was going to do it, within months, all of a sudden I was doing special music. Within 6 or 8 months, I became the choir director. What was the difference? I had decided it had nothing to do with Sterling Walsh. It had everything to do with my Savior. And if I'm willing to serve him, he'll put me where I need to be. When I'm willing to see, listen, you go and sing in the nursing home and most of them are going, and you're all done. "That was sure good. I would preach it for you." I said, I don't think they didn't hear a thing I said, but they were glad I was there. Well, anybody with a warm body could have gone and done that. But that was what they needed. Listen, a servant is known by the master. The master knows who is serving. And he says, "There's going to be a guy downtown here. He's carrying a pitcher. You go talk to him. He knows exactly what I need." Look at number two. A servant is one who is serving. A servant is one who is serving. Verse 13, "And he sendeth forth two of his disciples, and saith unto them, Go ye into the city, and there shall meet you." That means you're going to encounter, come across this man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. In other words, go where he goes. Now, the fact is, this is a little weird. I mean, just you go into town, this guy, he's holding a pitcher, and you say, where he goes, you just follow him. Now, I guess they talk to each other. I don't know, but it just said, follow him. So I don't know, it's kind of creepy, but I almost went, well, just follow the guy to his house. So what I'm saying this, watch this. God uses those with a servant's heart. Servants are usually found serving. There's a guy who's carrying water. He's serving. I mean, you might think I'm making a big deal of this. I don't think I am. He found someone serving. Have you ever heard this saying? If you want to get something done, find somebody who's busy. Did you hear that saying? No? Well, I'll tell you what, down our way, that was a nerve. Want to get something done, find somebody who's busy. Because somebody who's busy is serving. And you'll find somebody who's really not busy doing anything, and you ask them to do something. "Well, I don't know. I mean, well, I guess I could think about it. Well, let me pray about it." You know what that meant? I'm going back next week and tell you no. A lot of times that's what that means. I'll pray about it. I'll talk to you next week and tell you no. God uses those that have a servant's heart. I think it's letter C there. A true servant, watch this, a true servant, and I might be pushing this a little bit here, is a safe person to follow. A true servant is a safe person to follow. He says, "Go ye into the city, and there shall you meet a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him." Now, I know I might be pushing this a little bit here, but it's better to follow someone who is working and serving than someone who seeks to be served. Now, I know I'm pushing this a little hard here, but someone who's looking to be served will eventually get you into trouble. He really will. Eventually get you into trouble. Make friends with people who are serving, especially around the church. "Well, I might have to get my hands dirty." That'll be good for you. Be good for you. Well, I hope everybody's looking when I'm serving because I want to at least get credit for it. Then you're not serving. Then you're not serving. If you have to have a trumpet fanfare, an announcement from the street corner that says, "Everybody, here we are, we're going to serve," then we're not serving. There's been times in my life, there's probably been times in your life where you've served and you served and you served and you served and you served, and all of a sudden they make a big deal of somebody else that you know didn't do as much as you did. And a year goes by and they still haven't waved your flag yet. Now maybe it's just me, but sometimes the Lord has to remind me why I serve. So, well, you should say thank you. Yeah, we should. But I mean, sometimes it's just like, you know, we're blinded to some things and it doesn't get said. You serving in where God calls you to serve is just as important as me serving where God's called me to serve. It's just as important. Out here on the building site yesterday, it looked like a beehive. We had guys digging footers. We had guys putting in the rebar. We had guys pouring the concrete. We had them out there digging this other thing and pushing the dirt over here. And we had the guys working in the electrical system. But, I mean, it was just a beehive. They're all doing their thing. But you know what? If any one of them drops the ball, we're in trouble. Well, I'm just a laborer. My job is to take that rebar and put it together and put a little wire around so it doesn't move. Yeah, but what if you don't put the little wire around there and it moves? Well, it's only got to stay there until the concrete's done, right? But if it doesn't stay there until the concrete's there, we're messed up. We've got trouble. We had a guy come in today and test. All of a sudden, we realized he had six inch by 2 foot cylinders of concrete that he got off the truck. But what is this for? He says, we got to make sure that the concrete is good enough to do what the engineer says it's supposed to do. But what are you going to do? We're going to take this concrete, we're going to take it down to the lab, and we're going to put pressure on this thing and see how many pounds of pressure it can hold before it blows up. That sounds like a fun job, doesn't it? But anyway, it has to have 3,000 pounds per square inch on this concrete. Somebody had to do that. Make sure it can handle the steel that's going up to handle the roof. Let me go back here. It's better to follow somebody who's serving. You got somebody who wants to be when there's too many chiefs and not enough engines, we're usually in trouble. Number three, a servant knows who the master is, who his master is. The master knows his servant. A servant is always serving. A servant knows who his master is. Verse 14. And wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? Now there's two masters here. The servant with the pitcher of water knew where his master was. These guys are probably inquiring, I don't know, but he says, these guys are following me here. Master, you want to take care of these two guys? Apparently they want something. So he takes them to his master. But then the disciples talk to the householder, and he says, the master. They follow this man right into the house and says, where's our room? The master wants to know where his room is going to be. Now apparently the servant knew who the master was. The good man of the house must have known who the master was. Now the servant was the good man of the house, but he served the master of the universe without delay. We all have a master. This pitcher, the guy who holding the pitcher had a master. This master had somebody he was over, but there was somebody over him. He has a master. Just like I'm supposed to be the under shepherd. I have to report to the great shepherd. The good shepherd. I'm going to give an account of everything that goes on in this church. And by the way, if I make a mistake, it's on me. It's not on you. So you can, you know, if you say, well, I'm not sure I would have done what the pastor would have done there, then don't worry about it. It's going to be on me. It's going to be on me. And I have to make the decision the best I can. Now, the servant knew who the master was. Now, Jesus did not tell the disciples to remind a good man of the house who his master was. He didn't say, no, don't forget to tell him, it's Jesus. He says, no, he's just his master. He's our master. Who's your master? Who has veto power in your life? Who gets to do the give the rules in your life? Who gets to make the decisions? He knew who his master was. Now, this could have seemed to be an imposition on the good man of the house. But he seems to be perfectly fine with it. They walk in and says, the master wants to know where the guest chamber is. Can you imagine somebody showing up at your house saying, I was wondering where your guest room is? Is it booked up because we'd like to use it? If it is booked up, kick them out because we want to use it. He just says that the master has need. Where's the guest chamber? Let me ask you a question. Is the Lord an imposition to you? Is he an imposition in your life when he calls you to serve? How about when he calls you to serve during your Sunday afternoon sanctified nap? When he comes along and he changes your day's schedule. When God imposes on your space, your personal space, your time at home. I mean, he says, hi, we're coming to your house and we're staying at the guest chamber. Where is it? Sometimes God shows up in our house, in our life and says, hi, I need you today. I have a calendar. I've got a copy of it in heaven. That's right here in my phone. You can see it here. But I need you today. That's kind of pushy. You're going to tell your master he's being pushy when we're supposed to be servants? And how many times that word servant is used? Most of the time it means bondslave. So when God comes in imposing on your time and your space and your life, what do you do? Look at number four. A servant freely gives the best of what he has. A servant freely gives the best of what he has. Look at verse 14 again. And I've given it to you. I got some commentary I'm going to give to you here. And wheresoever he shall go in other words, the guy with the pitcher, follow the guy with the pitcher, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, where is the guest chamber? The parlor, the room reserved for dignitaries, the one that you're going to go into when company comes, the one where you're not supposed to sit on the sofa, the one where she only takes the plastic all off the sofa when the preacher comes, or whatever it is. You know what I mean? It was the parlor. Where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. Not only do I want the room, we're going to have a party. We're going to have food in your house. And he will show you a large upper room. So this was a special room. Listen. Most rooms at that time were not large. So Jesus is going to be in there. It's going to be 12 disciples. You know, you need a decent-sized room to sit all those guys down. And the fact is, they weren't all sitting all nice in a chair because they would sit on the floor and often recline. And so you got your feet sticking out here, and it takes a pretty good-sized room with a bunch of guys out there trying to eat dinner. This must have been a man of means, the good man of the house, to have a large room set aside as a guest chamber. This was no slouch. This was a pretty well-to-do fella to have a room like that that's set aside for guests that big. He says, and he showed him a large upper room furnished. It has everything in it that could be needed by the master. Most likely it had rugs down. It had the table. It had some other whatever else was needed. It was furnished. It was fully equipped. Everything was at the master's disposal. Nothing was held back. And it says furnished and prepared. That means everything is in good repair, it's in the proper place, ready to be used immediately. Now look at this verse again, and put the whole thing together. It says, verse 14, wheresoever he shall go in, say ye to the good man of the house, the master saith, well, la-di-da, the master, this is my house. He didn't say that. The master saith, where is the guest chamber? Give him the best room of the place. where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples. And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There, make ready for us. That's the place. We had a servant carrying a pitcher, but I think we had a servant inside the house. My house is your house. My place is your place. Lord, if you want to move in and take over the place, go ahead. Happy to have you. There again, I know of a time in my life, years and years ago, where I literally took a big, deep breath and said, all right, Lord, my life is no longer mine. This house that you live in does not belong to me. It belongs to you. Do with it as you please. It was hard. My house is your house. Mi casa es su casa. Mom, I'm yours. Number five, a servant is faithful. See, a servant has to do with the heart, and the master knows who the servants are. I think Jesus knew that the good man of that house was going to be so willing to give whatever he needed. There's certain people in our church. We've had conversations around the kitchen table with our family, my kids, and even some now with my sons-in-laws, where somebody from the church, a name will come up, and they'll say, you know what, I could never imagine them ever doing anything against the Lord. They're just always surrendered. They're just always there. They just do their job. And I mean, I'm serious. We've talked about that, and I hate to say, we've even said things like, can you imagine if so-and-so did this? And we laugh because there's no way to work. We just, because they're faithful. They're true. They do what they do. Sometimes very quietly in the background, unassumingly, week after week after week, because they're faithful. They're servants. A true servant is faithful. Verse 16, it says, and his disciples went forth and came into the city, watch, and found as he had said unto them. And they made ready the Passover, and in the evening he cometh with the 12. Now, I know this sounds a little funny, but I underline that, found as he had said unto them. Now, I know Jesus is God, and I know that. But it's almost as if Jesus said, all right, there's going to be a, this guy's household is just something, you know. He's faithful. And because he has such a servant's heart, my guess is his servants serve him willingly. You'll find that guy. I'll guarantee you that guy's going to be out there with a pitcher of water. He just hauls water all day at that big house. Man, they've got servants all over their house. They've got animals to feed. He's gonna be hauling water. That's what that old boy does. You go out there, you're going to see that old boy. He's going to be hauling water. When you find that guy with the water, follow him. Because you know he's going to end up at this guy's house. You know, I have to tell you the name. You don't need to know the name because that's who he is. And he's going to get back to that house, and you just tell him the master is asking about the guest chamber. He'll know exactly what I mean. Because you see, we know each other pretty well. Because he could be faithful. And sure enough, happened just like he said. Why? Because the servant's faithful. I knew Jimmy was going to sit back here tonight. Even though he's not, you know, up quite the par, but he was going to be here if he could. I knew it. Jimmy and Barb were going to sit right there. That's where they sit on Wednesday night. They sit over here on Sunday morning. I knew they were going to sit right over there on Wednesday night. I knew they were. He was going to be here if he just could get there, he didn't get out, you know, as long as everything. Now, if he's buckled over in pain, he might not make it. He'll probably be down in the hospital. But, you know, right, he's going to be here if he could. Because that's what Jimmy does. Now, I wasn't surprised when Eric and Amy came in tonight. Now, I know I saw you sit down. I saw you sit down with his two hernias. But you know what? They can be here. They're going to be here on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. We got a lot of folks across this room here. And this is a Wednesday night crowd. This, to be honest with you, this is, besides the ones that are actually out here serving and with the kids and stuff, this is really, you know, unless for those who just have to go work on Wednesday, and we have some like that too, but a lot of this is core people. These are our core people. And I hate to say it, it's a smaller percentage than it is of Sunday morning. Because it's who we are. Want to be around the Master. Want to hear what we can hear. Give what we can get. Letter B there, I said, a servant is ready to meet the Master's needs whenever he asks. A servant is ready. My mom, you know, there's different spiritual gifts. My mom's gift is the gift of serving, you know, helps. And you could probably, if I called her this morning, she'd have a roast in the freezer she could have for dinner tonight. And in fact, we figured out how she does this. I don't know how she does, but she'll take a roast out of the freezer. She puts it in without thawing it out. She puts it in. She makes the best roast beef. And Janet said, well, it never tastes right. My mom says, take it out of the freezer. I don't know whether she has it like an hour or something, but she puts it right in the oven. And it's juicy. It's good. It's done. Now, she'll cook the thing, you know, 6 hours. She'll put it in at noontime. We're going to eat at 6. But just sits there, slow roast. Oh, my soul, it's good stuff. But don't take my word for it. I probably don't have all the things. But she puts it in frozen. She just knows how to do it. She's just ready at the drop of a hat. I've told you the story. Years ago, when my dad first came home, when he was hurt, my son stayed with Sterling, the third, stayed with them just so they had somebody to help her and move him around and so forth. And he was working, and he'd come home late sometimes, and sometimes like 10 o'clock at night, and he was working. She said, well, you need a snack? Can I get you something? Let me fix you a steak. 10 o'clock at night, you need a snack? Let me fix a steak. You know, that's just the way she was. Ready to serve at a drop of a hat. I like folks who are ready to serve. A servant is ready to meet the Master's needs. The good man of the house was ready as if he knew the Master was going to call on him soon. The house, the room was prepared. It was all furnished. Ready to go. We don't know if the man knew when the Master would call on him, but he did know he had to maintain a readiness. So when the Master called, he would be ready at a moment's notice. And Jesus knew the servant would be ready for him. You've heard the old saying, the best ability is availability. There's a lot of folks who have so many gifts to give who are never used because somehow they're just never available. Curtis Hudson used to tell the story. He says, my wife is forever redecorating. And actually, Al and I have talked about that. I'm so glad for 3M strips. Because what they used to do, they used to come over here and say, well, I think it should be right about here. Let's put the nail in here. Pop, pop, pop. Put it on there. No, that's not right. Let's put it over here like here. Pop. You know, before long, it looks like Swiss cheese. You know, we've got the thing all poked up. The fact is, when your wife finally says, well, let's, of course, he's like me. You got to get the tape measure out and the level and, you know, all this kind of stuff to put it up there. But the fact is, sometimes you say, that's it. Well, what am I supposed to put it in with? Right? This was not made to build houses. But if that's all the Lord has, he'll use it. And, hey, listen, it was better to use that shoe with a heel than not to do the job at all. I'd rather have him use this heel, if that's all he has, than be left out. A servant needs to be ready. We may not be the best choice, but God will use us if we're available. Now, I believe that Jesus knew the servant would be ready because the servant is a faithful servant. Consistent, prepared, furnished. When I went off to college, I said, I don't know if the Lord would ever do anything with me, but I figured he can't be mad at me for being prepared. So off to college I went. Well, I don't know if I could ever teach a class. I don't know if I ever could. Seriously. I'm not pulling your leg. I didn't know whether I could ever even teach a Sunday school class. Scared to death. You know, it was bad. But we prepare ourselves. You never know. He might call if we're prepared. So, well, God doesn't call the equipped. He equips the called. Well, I understand that. But why don't you go ahead and let him equip you? You never know what he might have in line for you. So I'm going to conclude here. Are you a servant of the master? Does the master know you? Does he know you as a servant? And if Jesus came to you, would he find you serving or seeking to be served? Well, they didn't do this right, and they didn't do that right. What in the world was that all about? And I don't know if these, I don't think I can just, I just can't, no. You know, they didn't ask my opinion on this, so I think we're just going to go someplace else. Now, if it's bad, you know, I mean, most of those, I have the deacons make decisions with me just so I don't have to take all the blame. But fact is, can you imagine if we voted on the carpet or the wall color or all those things? You say, well, I want to have some, I know. And you might have a good, but what if we opened it up? If you're okay with the colors we have out in the hallway here, you're going to be happy, all right? You'll be happy. If you're not okay, you're not going to be happy. But if you're okay with the neutral colors, we can go with other things, you know, as we go along, you'll be happy. Watch this. When the master speaks or you receive a call from the master, do you know whether it's truly from him or not? So they knew who the master was. They knew when he called, they knew it was from him. I don't know how they knew, but they knew it was from him. See, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Do you serve with all your heart and soul and mind and strength? Or do you serve him with your best or with your leftovers? This reveals whether you truly see the master as your master. Do you keep yourself prepared so that you're always ready to serve whenever and wherever the master calls? And a last question, can the Lord trust you to be prepared? To be in your place where he knows you're always going to be. Doing your thing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for speaking to us here this evening. Simple message. But Lord, we need to be ready to serve, ready to give ourselves to you. Thank you for these dear folks. I appreciate our faithful servants. There's faithful servants all over this building tonight. And Lord, I pray that there'll be some others. So you know what? It's time for me to stop sitting and start serving. Or maybe there's some things I can do. Maybe there's some things I can't do, but maybe there are some things I can do. And may they have the joy of serving you. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stay.